We've been teaching, and I don't know how many lessons we've taught on this, but strong man is his name, and strongholds is his game. We've been on this for several weeks. I'll do 1 week, Darlene does another week, and then I'll do another, and she does another. In fact, she should be doing next Sunday. And I think we have about three or four more strong men to deal with today, but this is not a downer. These are not Debbie Downer sermons. These are sermons to help you locate what is going on and who's attacking you so you can address the attacker. And how many knows if you don't know who your enemy is? Huh? So what we're helping you to do is to identify the enemy that has a stronghold, and then you can break yourself free from that. Now, I'm not saying demon-possessed. I'm not saying you got a demon. I'm just saying that you have a stronghold that needs to be broken, and probably every one of us has had some kind of a stronghold in our life. Amen? It could be food. Yeah, boy, it got quiet when I said that one, didn't it? You know, it could be a habit. It could be lying. You know, there's different kinds of strongholds, and if we can name that and discover how to be free from that, Lord help us. Amen. Lord help us. Amen. So today I'm going to give you one that you may not be real familiar with, and it might even sound a little X-rated, but it's not. I want to talk to you about the strong man of, and his name is the Spirit of Whoredoms. The Spirit of Whoredoms. Now, don't get upset with me. It's in the Bible, all right? I can say what the Bible says, right? Huh? And so we're going to turn to Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. I've read that entire book, and I went back through it again this last week, and it's amazing how God had told this man to marry this harlot. I want you to go marry this harlot, and you know that she's going to be unfaithful to you, but I want you to marry her anyway. And it's all symbolic about how God has his church, and he wants his church to be his bride. How many knows he's the husband, we're the bride of Christ, but so many times we commit adultery by disobeying him, and it breaks his heart when we do that. It breaks his heart when his children or his spouse commits adultery against him. And that's what the book of Isaiah is about. God says, I want you to go marry Gomer, who is a prostitute, and I want to show you how I feel when somebody commits adultery against me. And so it's an awesome story. I'd encourage you to go home and read all 12 chapters. It's a great book. But I want to deal with one part of that today, and it's called The Spirit of Whoredoms. And we're going to read from Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. Read along with me if you choose. They will not frame their doings. I'll come back and explain that in just a moment. They will not frame their doings to turn unto the Lord, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Here's another translation. I know you, Ephraim, inside and out. Yes, Israel, I see right through you. Ephraim, you have played your sex and religious games long enough. All Israel is thoroughly polluted. They would not recognize God if they saw me. God is accusing them of fornicating against him by serving the idols of the other nations of the world. God never intended for Israel to go whoring after other gods, yet they did it time and time and time again. But it also shows you the mercy of God and the goodness of God and the love of God, how that when they came and truly repented and turned back to God, how he restored to them the things that were taken away from them. Somebody say, oh my Lord. That's the kind of God we're serving, you know? And I wonder today, how many people reject Christ? They just keep rejecting him over and over. They'll say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. But then they'll go back and do the same thing the children of Israel did, and we are rejecting our creator. We're rejecting our provider. We're rejecting the one that sustains us. And so I want to explain to you today exactly what is the spirit of whoredoms. Of course, there's a natural meaning and there is a spiritual meaning. Are you with me still? Am I talking too fast? You want me to slow down? Okay. You want to get out of here quicker, don't you? So let's take a look at some of the fruits of the spirit of whoredoms. Here we go. Number one, unfaithfulness to God, adultery, prostitution, chronic dissatisfaction. In other words, never having enough. Chronic dissatisfaction. Always wanting more. Now, don't turn around and look at the person sitting next to you. Just look straight on, right on, okay? I'm telling you, we're not gonna point at anybody today, but it's always wanting more, never having enough. Here we go, idolatry, love of money, excessive appetite. Oh, did I have to say that? Gluttony, oh, did I have to say that? So listen, you might be doing one of those things, but I'm doing one of those things too. So is it okay if I preach to myself today? Because we all fall in some category somewhere in all of this, amen. Gluttony, an inordinate love for food, never getting enough. Fornication and hoarding, worldliness and stealing. Can I read that one more time? Unfaithfulness to God, adultery, prostitution, chronic dissatisfaction, idolatry, love of money, excessive appetite, gluttony, fornication, hoarding, worldliness, and stealing. So I think in the natural, we can all probably identify, when I say that in the natural, we can probably all identify in the physical sense what the spirit of whoredoms is. It's someone that has no chastity, someone that is always seeking more, someone that never has enough. Would you focus your eyes up here behind me and look at this short video clip, and it'll give you an idea in the natural what the spirit of whoredoms is like, and then we're going to talk about it on the spiritual side. I'm sure there's nobody here that is that extreme, but it doesn't always start off that extreme, does it? It doesn't start off that bad. It starts off little. Another pair of shoes, another pair of socks. Another this, another that, and before long we find ourselves in a situation like, hopefully not like this, but of course that's taken from the show, TV show Hoarders, as you know, but I wanted you to see what the spirit of whoredoms can do when it gets a hold of you in the natural, but there's also the spiritual side that can be just as devastating as that in the natural side. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12, let's look at this scripture, Hosea 4 and 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Listen to this translation. They ask a piece of wood for advice. They think a stick can tell them the future. Longing after idols has made them foolish. Here's another one, another translation. My people consult a wooden idol, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray, and they are unfaithful to their God. What you just saw was something in the natural realm, but there's also a spiritual realm to the spirit of whoredoms. Let me tell you what that is. It's one who has cheated on God by placing anything, everybody say anything, before him. One who does not care that their selfish actions breaks the heart of God. The spirit of whoredoms. I think it's time that we bind that spirit in our life. I think it's time that we take authority over that thing and declare the spirit of God is loose on the inside of me to help me abstain from falling into that spirit. Can I hear a good amen? So let's break this down a little bit this morning. The spirit of whoredoms is when we as believers choose to leave our first love to indulge in the lust of the flesh. Y'all understand that? We leave our first love to indulge our flesh, indulge ourselves into the lust of the flesh. So it's anything that causes you to make a self-pleasing, flesh-pleasing decision that opposes the will of God for our lives. Huh? I don't expect a lot of amens, but I might try to pull one out of you once in a while. Anytime you make a self-pleasing, flesh-pleasing decision that opposes the will of God and the word of God, that is called the spirit of whoredoms. In other words, you love something more than God. God says, do this, and you say, no, I don't want to do this. Remember last week we talked about pride? How that we, you know, pride stops us a lot of times from doing what God wants us to do. But God says, I want you to do this, but no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to do my thing. You have just left the will and the plan and the purposes of God for your life to follow after something of the flesh. Yeah. That's the spirit of whoredoms. And everybody has probably been guilty of playing with that harlot for a while, or at least sometime. Amen. There are so many things that pull people away from the center of God's will. There's so many distractions that pull us away from what God wants us to do. And Hosea's marriage to Gomer, remember we talked about that, the harlot, illustrates what the nation of Israel was doing when they forsook God. They left God for the harlotry of idols, the idols of other nations, want to be like everybody else, want to do this, didn't want to just say yes to God and no to everything else. They embraced the idols and false gods from neighboring nations. Hey, look at America today. You don't have to watch the news. Just open your ears and listen to people. Look what's happening in America and all the religions that are being embraced right now in America. Hosea felt the same thing. Hosea felt the same pain and the same agony on a physical level that God feels on a spiritual level when we forsake him. You say, well, I would never forsake God. If you're not doing what God told you to do, you're forsaking God. Are you listening to me today? When God says, don't sleep together unmarried, and you say, well, God understands, I have these needs, you have forsaken God. Now, you're not going to hear that in a lot of churches these days. But adultery is still sin. And spiritual adultery is sin. Amen. Don't just be pointing your finger at people living together. Check your own self. Is there spiritual adultery in your life? Good preaching, Pastor. Let's read some more Bible. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. I'm reading from the Living Bible, but you can read from your Bible, and it will say basically the same thing, just a little different words from time to time. So it says here in Ezekiel 16, later when I passed by and saw you again, you were old enough for marriage, and I wrapped my cloak around you to legally declare my marriage vow. I signed a covenant with you, and you became mine. Then when the marriage had taken place, I gave you beautiful clothes of linen and silk, embroidered and sandals made of dolphin's hide. I gave you lovely ornaments, bracelets, and beautiful necklaces, a ring for your nose. That's where we're missing it right there. A ring for your nose. Carol, you want me to talk to Mark about that and see if we can get you one? Yeah. A ring for your nose and two more for your ears and a lovely tiara and for your head. And you were made beautiful with gold and silver, and your clothes were silk and linen and beautifully embroidered. You ate the finest foods. You became more beautiful than ever. You looked like a queen, and so you were. Your reputation was great among the nations for your beauty. We're talking about the church now. Come on, listen. Don't just get on the physical side of this. Let's stay spiritual. He's talking about the church. Look what all the Lord has done for us. Look what he's provided for us. Look what he's paid for us to enjoy. And he says, your reputation was great among the nations for your beauty. It was perfect because all the gifts I gave to you, says the Lord God. But you thought you could get along without me. You trusted in your beauty instead, and you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was his for the asking. You used the lovely things I gave you for making idol shrines to decorate your bed of prostitution. Unbelievable. There has never been anything like it before. You took the very jewels and gold and silver ornaments that I gave you, and you made statues of men and worshiped them, which is adultery against me. You used the beautifully embroidered clothes I gave you to cover your idols, and you used my oil and incense to worship them. You set before them a lovely sacrifice. Imagine it, a fine flour and oil and honey I gave you. And you took my sons and daughters that you had born to me, and you sacrificed them to your gods, and they are gone. Wasn't it enough that you should be a prostitute? Must you also slay my children by sacrificing them to idols? Somebody say, oh my God. Oh my goodness. We may not offer, we may not offer these sacrifices to a physical idol. Amen. We wouldn't do that today. But how many knows we can allow things to come between us and our God? And anything that comes between you and God, I don't care. It can be innocent. It can be pure. It can be all right. But when it comes between you and God, it is It is a road to adultery. We may only have half this many people at church next week. I don't know. But this is strong, and I just lost my place. Hang on just a minute. There we go. Anything that rules us and takes the place of God is idolatry. Okay, let me list a few of them. How many knows that food can become our God? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can. Sex, possessions, distractions, sports, money, movies, jobs, television, your spouse, your children, anything that becomes between you and your God becomes an idol. Come on now. Listen to this. You ever wonder why? I wrote this down because on Wednesday nights, some of you may not know this, but did you ever wonder why the church is less than half full on Wednesday nights? You know why? It's not because people don't have time. It's they have other priorities. Now it's really getting quiet, isn't it? They have other priorities. They have the time, but they've allotted that time to fulfill something else in their lives. It's not because other things have become priority. People have become selfish with their time. Even though it was God that gave us the time in the first place, right? He gave us the time, and now we're selfish with the time that he gave us. He said, if you will seek me first, I will take care of your time. Do you know anytime you give up something, there was people came in here yesterday and worked. There was people that came in here Friday and worked, and they gave up of their time. Do you know that they gave up of their time, but I believe that God rewards and he will repay those that gave up anything for his sake. You say, well, I just came in and cleaned a chair. Or I just came in and ran the tractor. I just came in and took the bugs out of all the lights. It doesn't matter. That was a tribute to the house of God. And because you won't find any bugs, stop looking. Sister Sue's down here looking around for the bugs. No, our brother got them all. Where are you? Where's my brother that got them all? He's hiding from me. Okay. Anyway, you did it for the love of the house of God. And God said, whatever you do for me, I will repay. I will bless you. Amen. So I want to ask you today, what is it that dominates your time? What is it that dominates your life? What is it that keeps you from spending more time in the house of God? What rules you? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, Paul gives us some instructions here. Paul said, all things are lawful. Now, I've heard this scripture so many times. I've heard people justify what they're doing by using this scripture. People have said, I can do whatever I want to do. And they use this scripture to justify some things that are borderline. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let me give you another translation. This is the Living Bible. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no, but some things are not good for me. Some things are not good for you. Some things will ruin your testimony with other people. Some things are not good for you. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I cannot easily stop when I want to. Do you know that every alcoholic started with one drink and they were able to stop it? And then they, well, you know, one's not bad. I can do two. And for long, it's not just social drinking at the mealtime. It's drinking when you get home from work. It's drinking before you go to bed. It's drinking when you get up in the mornings. And you put, am I right, Boomer? Is that the way it works? And you turn into a full-blown alcoholic with one drink. And the Bible says that I will not come under the authority of any of that stuff because it may be okay. According to the word of God here, all things are expedient, but not all things are what? Lawful. Because I will not be brought under the rule of any of those. These are things that in themselves may not be wrong. Do you know there's people that can get addicted to sports? There's people that can get addicted to music. They get so addicted to music, they never listen or read the Word of God. Do you know you can get addicted to money? You can get addicted to money. And again, that spirit of whoredoms can go to work. I got to have more, got to have more, got to have more, got to have more, got to do this, I got to have this, I want this, I'd like to have this, I want this, 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 and that. And you get addicted to money. You can get addicted again. Like I said a while ago, you can get addicted to food. Listen, when I was preparing this message, I felt so guilty. I felt guilty that more than any of you sitting out there today, I'm sure, because I know how much my body likes food. I know how many times I've bowed to food. Now listen, I'm just as human as the rest of you are. And I'm a little bigger than most of you guys are. And I realize, you know what? That's not a good testimony to the kingdom of God. So I'm preaching to myself today because I have come under the rule of money. I mean, not money, food. I've come under the rule of food. I gotta have it, gotta have it. You know what? We can't hardly get done eating breakfast before we're thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. You know, buffets have been the number one killer of most people. Keeping up with me? You know, the Bible said, Paul said, I buffet my body. Some of you thought it said, I buffet my body, but he says, no, I buffet my body. No, listen. It's easy to get so addicted that you don't realize you're addicted. This lady did not even realize that she was a hoarder. She refused to admit, I'm a hoarder. I'm a collector. That's what I am. I'm a collector of food. I'm a collector of food. No, you're a hoarder. Okay. I'm just preaching to myself today. What are you going to do with it, Brother Rhodes? It's none of your business, but I'm going to work on it. I don't need your, okay. So some of the things are not necessarily evil. Eating is not evil. Watching television is not evil. Going to the movies is not evil. But when you're so addicted to it that that's all you can do, it becomes evil and takes the place of God. You say, oh, I still love God. It still rules your body. God is to be on the top of our list. Amen? How many knows God will not tolerate any other gods before him? Huh? He wants to be on the top of the list. So that means worshiping him, assembling together, coming together, praying together. That's all putting God first, okay? How many knows your spouse? Listen to this now. This is going to make some people look at me kind of cross-eyed. Our spouse is supposed to be second, not first. Your children are to be second or third. Actually, it should be God, your husband, and then your children. It should be God, your wife, and then your children. Can I get a nod or can I get a yes or a no? Let's see where we're standing at today. God has to be number one, not your spouse, not your children. And if God's not number one, then there's idolatry. There's whoredoms. Ooh, I didn't think I had the nerve to preach this, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. I think it's time for a drink. I was a little nervous before I started preaching, but I'm doing okay now. Come on. 1 John chapter 2, NIV. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, NIV. Now, if you're sitting there today and you're trying to tear down everything I say, I will not change my mind. I'm convinced that this is the word of the Lord. Do not love the world or anything in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, it's amazing when we say the lust of the eyes, we immediately think, men that are womanizers. But there's a whole lot more to the lust of the eyes than some kind of a sexual attraction. The lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has done. Did you hear me? Let's name these three things again. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and what he has done comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, just to clear some things up, physical adultery and fornication is also a playground for the strong man. There are. I told you there's natural and there's spiritual whoredoms. Let's talk about the physical for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this pretty good today? Yes. Anybody's mad, say I am. Everybody love me, say I do.
I do.
If you're not going to say anything, say that's me. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6. This is verse 13, the second part. You cannot say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. You can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Come on, give me a shout. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? Boy, there's a message right there. I'll let Darlene come back and preach that one. For the scripture says the two are united into one. Where's the scripture say that? In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 says when a man leaves his mother and father, he is joined to his wife and the two are united into one. Okay, let's continue on. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves. You were bought with a high price. So let's honor God with our bodies. Again, sexual union outside of marriage brings bondage. It brings bondage to your lives. It chokes. You know what it'll do? It'll choke the desire to do the will of God. It'll begin to choke you and choke you and choke you more and more to where I don't even want to go to church anymore. I don't even want to go, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. Okay, now let's look at this. Chronic dissatisfaction. Chronic dissatisfaction. I'm telling you what, that thing plagues America, doesn't it? It is plaguing America. You know, I get so tired of TV commercials. Did anybody ever heard of the pillow guy? You know, I love Mike, but I just get tired of his commercials. I just get tired. I like what Mike stands for, but I get tired of the pillow commercials, you know. And do you know that if you watch something long enough and as often as, you know, if you watch it every time it comes on, do you know that you're gonna end up saying, well, you know what, that is a pretty good product. I'm gonna buy that thing. Why? Because you've seen it so many times it has become ingrained in you and it's part of you now, and so you gotta have it. Same thing with all these other commercials. If you watch it long enough, you gotta have it. Come on, everybody, watch me. Come on, look up at me today. If you watch it long enough, you think you have to have it. And that's why Americans are so far in debt today. It's so easy. Just call this number, and if you call right now, we'll double the supply. I'll tell you something else. That's why there's so much divorce. That's why there's so much desertions. And it's in the church. People get dissatisfied in the church. They get mad at a sermon the preacher preaches, or they get dissatisfied with something in the church. I didn't like that song. I didn't like that music. I didn't like the volume. I didn't like the lights. I didn't like the darkness. I didn't like them talking about that. And people get so dissatisfied. They grumble and bicker over the silliest things. But I'll tell you, there's another one here that affects people, and it's called the love of money. Everybody say this with me. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's another characteristic of the spirit of whoredoms, the love of money. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't know where I'm at. What's this say? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Okay. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into the temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, craving money, have wandered from the truth and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these what? What kind of things? Evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith and love and perseverance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith for the true faith. Hold tightly into eternal life, which God has called you, which you have been declared so well before many witnesses. I believe one of the most prized possessions that we as believers have, is not our money, but our faith. Our faith in Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, do not bury your faith seeking treasure. The Bible tells us not to seek after treasure. Don't seek after money. But if you will seek after him, the Bible says, was it Matthew 6, that seek first the kingdom of God, these things will be added unto you. But the flesh wants to seek these other things, and then we'll put God back here on the back burner, and if we need him, if there's something we need, we'll call upon him. Seek God with all your heart first. Amen. So I want to encourage you, don't bury your faith in some kind of a drive to pile up a bunch of money. Romans 1:17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just will live by faith. Amen. Okay, now I want to talk about gluttony again. I've kind of touched on it a couple times, but I kind of want to come back one more time and let's look at this. An inordinate love for food. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. Everywhere we turn today, do you know what? I could not wait till the 21-day fast was over. You know why? I wanted to eat. In fact, before the fast was over, we were counting down the days when we could eat. Instead of focusing on what great things God's doing during the fast, we're focusing on, only five more days, and we get to eat. Only four more days. We've talked about this, Luke, many times. We can't wait. We're going to go to Steak and Shake, and we're going to order a 5-pound steak burger. We're going to go pig out. We've all done that, haven't we? But everywhere we, you know, it seems like, have you ever noticed when you're fasting how many commercials are on television about food? I mean, even McDonald's burgers looks good when you're fasting. I drive by Burger King and I only smell Burger King when I'm fasting. And you drive by and it's like that, what's that, huh? Okay, whatever that is. That burger, man, you can smell it. You don't even have to pull in the parking lot. You just go down Karsh Boulevard with your window down and it smells good when you're fasting. Yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, we try to, you know, some of you guys probably, since you've been sitting here this morning, I'm trying to figure out where you're going to go to lunch today. Honey, where do you want to go for lunch today? I don't know. Preacher's still preaching. We got every kind of food you can think of. Every kind of restaurant you can think of, and we have an abundance of it. In fact, we have a new restaurant opening up tomorrow morning at 10:30. Where? Where? Who said where? McAllister's opens up. I hope you plug us. McAllister's is opening tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., and you know what? You won't be able to find a sitting space or a parking spot because the first few days of when something opens up, it's just... Why? Because we're hungry. We want something to eat. We overeat because we become obsessed. My wife will tell me, honey, you look better when you have a few less pounds on you. And you know what I say? Monday. I'll start fasting Monday. Anybody ever done that before? It's always Monday. And Monday, I might do pretty good. But then Tuesday, I'm right back on the train again. So we got to work on that. Amen. We diet every Monday after, you know, we waddle out a catfish kettle and we say, oh, I'll start my diet tomorrow. You ever go to Huddle House? You know what they say? Huddle on in. And most of us huddle on out when we're done, right? But did you know, listen to me now, do you know that dieting can become your God also? Yeah. Dieting can become your God just as much as overeating. What about anorexia? What about bulimia? Bulimia. Amen. You know, your eating disorder is not just about food, but it's about your feelings. It's about your heart. It's about what's going on the inside of you. Not about your stomach. I know a lady right now, and we have somebody here in the church that knows the same one I'm talking about, but she's had a problem with this for so many years that she's just fading away day by day by day, and her parents have done everything they can to help her, and she just keeps fading away. It's not about your stomach. It's not about your diet. It's much bigger than that. Amen? Yeah. Amen? And so how many knows fat is not a dress size? It's not how I look in the mirror. Amen. Fat, if you're a bulimic or anorexic, fat could be my fear that I'm going to gain weight. Fat could be actually an unsatisfied hunger. I'm too shameful. Fat is me. But I have no problem with bulimia or being anorexic. But it's just as bad. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's talk about this for just a second, then I'm going to close. The sports craze has taken the place of God. In America, sports stadiums have become religious shrines for millions every Sunday. Players are worshipped more than God. People can quote their name, their batting average, their pass average, their catch average, whatever you want to call it. They can tell you what number they are. They can tell you just everything about them. In fact, I just saw this morning on Fox News that there's a girl that's just about to break the record of long shots, you know, three-point shots or more, and she's just about to break the record. And you know what they've done? They've raised the price of the tickets to those particular ball games. It's amazing how much money they get paid, and the churches still have to struggle week after week after week. I want to tell you something. I don't think you ought to make fun of anybody that God blesses. Amen. You know, and I'm talking about, there's preachers out there that really get hit hard because they have a lifestyle that's maybe a little nicer than theirs, and people bash them, but they also have a huge responsibility, and they also have a very large ministry. And so I don't think we need to be bashing anybody, men of God, that are doing something for God. I remember Joyce Meyer. She used to get bashed. Joyce Meyer is one of the greatest teachers that there is out there. Not just women teachers, men teacher, women teacher. Joyce Meyer is one of the few wonderful women preachers of God. Actually, she's right number two under my wife, right? But she gets so bashed. Because she's blessed financially. Listen, stop pointing the finger and let's just start taking care of ourselves. Amen, amen. Stop. We don't need that kind of stuff in the church of God. Amen. So let's go to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 12. I've only got one more page. Bear with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 15. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Woo. I'm not obligated to do what my stupid body wants to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received the Spirit, God's Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children. And now we can call him Daddy. Abba, Father. Daddy. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Let's pray. I want to lead us in a prayer today, and then I'm going to have you to repeat a prayer with me, okay? I think it's time to quit. Let's just stop right here. Let's just close this out, and let's pray, and let's ask God to open our eyes. Was I called out? Was there something that I've done that hit me? Did I feel uncomfortable? Did I get mad when he said that? Okay, let's just pray, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for the power of the blood of Jesus that forgives us of all sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God, no matter how long we've lived for you, we still have these weak areas of our life that sometimes we allow them to rule us, and thus we miss the will of God. But we know, God, that your forgiveness is 70 times 7. We know, God, that there's nothing that we can do that will stop you from loving us and helping us in this life. So we cry out to you today, God, forgive us for the sin of whoredoms. Forgive us, Lord, for those things that we've allowed our flesh to rule and put you on the back burner, put you on the shelf. Forgive us, O God, for seeking after things more than we seek after you. Forgive us, God, for allowing our time to tell us whether we go to church or not. Forgive us, God, for allowing those things of the world to enter in and cause us to miss your goodwill for our lives. In Jesus' name, help us to keep you number one in our lives, Lord. Keep you number one in the name of Jesus. Say this with me. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind your spirit of whoredoms. And according to Matthew 18 and 18, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I refuse to allow you to intimidate me, to dominate me, and I renounce you, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Father, I also thank you that Matthew 18, 18 declares, whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I loose your spirit. I release the Holy Spirit to have free will in my life, to teach me, to show me when I'm getting out of line. Help me, Holy Spirit, to keep my priorities right. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're in this house today and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I don't want to miss an opportunity for you to get things right with God. It would be a shame for us to preach a gospel message and not have somebody come to Jesus Christ if they're in the building, or at least have the opportunity. So if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you some material to help you in your walk with God. That we're not asking you to join Solid Rock. We're not asking you to give your money to Solid Rock. All we're asking you is to become a member of the body of Christ by saying yes to Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up, and this pastor and our pastoral staff will pray with you and believe God that you're going to come into a new relationship with him today. Is there anybody in the building? Anybody in the building? This is the most important decision you will ever make, is accepting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Anybody in the building want to make that commitment to Jesus Christ today? Everybody okay with the Lord? Yes. Everybody all right? Yes. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Yes. If Jesus was to split the eastern sky and come and take us away, would you be ready to go? Yes. Good, good. God bless you. What a great testimony. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful congregation. We thank you for this wonderful church. We thank you, Father, that your people support the ministry with their tithe and their offerings, and we declare them to be blessed of the Lord. I declare, Father God, that we're blessed with faithful Abraham, and that we're blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're blessed when we rise up. We're blessed when we lie down. God, no matter where we're at, we are blessed with faithful Abraham because we trust you, Jesus, to be our Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you that every bill is paid in people's lives, Lord. I thank you that you're giving them wisdom to pay off their credit cards, to pay off their homes, to pay off their automobiles, to be totally debt-free, so that, Father, we'll be able to give without having to worry about our bills. We'll be able to give unto others, Lord, without being concerned that our bills will be late. I thank you, Father, for supernatural abundance, supernatural increase, supernatural raises, supernatural bonuses, supernatural favor with our employers and those that we work for, supernatural sales for those that are in their own businesses. Lord, I thank you for the entrepreneurs. I thank you for those, God, that you're giving creative ideas to generate income so that they can help support women around the world and mission stations around the world. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Solid Rock. Thank you, Lord, that we will have a mortgage burning service so very soon, Lord. We'll rejoice and shout all over this place. We thank you, Father, that every bill is paid in advance. God, there's no sad stories to tell, but you are the supplier of every one of our needs, and we give you the glory and the praise for it. Now, Father, I ask that you keep your hand upon every person under the sound of our voice. May this week be a week of overflowing joy. May it be a week of overwhelming peace in our homes, peace with our spouses, peace with our children, peace on the job, peace with our friends. God, I thank you that it's going to be a blessed week. God, there'll be no accidents, no injuries, no hospitals. There'll be no illness. God, there'll be no bad reports. We just declare that your people are blessed of God. They're healed by the stripes of Jesus. They're protected by the angels of the Lord. You will keep them, Lord, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. Thank you for a wonderful week in God. We thank you, Lord, for opportunities to share our faith with other people. We believe, God, that you're going to give us open doors to share our faith and to be a testimony and a witness to other people. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,